And hello, people of the internet. How's it going today? How you doing? I'm Billy Bones, and this is A Walk Through the Mind, a moment where we can sit down, hang out, chit-chat, discuss a handful of ideas that have been bouncing around inside my head, see if we can't take those ideas for ourselves and go out and get the conversation started with friends, family, the people we meet on the street, or maybe we just get those gears turning within our own heads and see where it takes us. So I've been reading another book, going through it for I divulge what the book is. There's a term used in there about peace and prosperity. Now, normally those two go hand in hand. I guess let's start off with some definitions. Peace, according to Merriam-Webster, is a state of tranquility or quiet, such as A, freedom from civil disturbance, B, a state of security or order within a community provided by law or custom. Number two, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions. Number three, harmony in personal relations. Number four, a state of period mutual concord between governments. And four, B, a pact or agreement to the end of hostilities between those who have been at war or a state of enmity. Number five, used interjectionally to ask for silence or calm as a greeting or a farewell. And prosperity. That was a lot for peace. Let's get ready for prosperity. Merriam-Webster coming in again. The condition of being successful or thriving, especially economic well-being. How do they have so many definitions for some words and almost none for others? But peace and prosperity usually go hand in hand. When you have peace, you can be prosperous. And when prosperous enough, you can offer peace, I guess. Because you can't evolve, you can't grow without things being in order, organized, and lacking chaos. So that way you can put all your ducks in a row. But this book they've been reading doesn't necessarily deal with a lot of peace. It deals with a lot of prosperity with a limited number of individuals. Limited in the global sense. In the actual number sense, it seems to be a bigger number than any of us would like to admit. But the book is The Shadow World Inside the Global Arms Trade by Andrew Feinstein, released in 2011. And it's another one of those white-collar crime books where it's more information than salacious detail. It's not fiction where dragons and wizards are duking it out. It's money. It's scandalous corruption between government officials and black market arms dealers. And a lot of death. I don't go into too much of the death. There's definitely some things that I need to further educate myself on, thanks to this book. But this book, am I allowed to say it? That it, without predicting Ukraine, it predicted Ukraine, the breakout of war, the shenanigans that have happened over there, kind of reinforces the territorial borders conversation we had a couple weeks ago on what determines where your culture comes from, where it starts and ends, all in where you're able to control or your government is able to control. And more or less what happens when arms deals kind of go awry. They're not held to the strictest of standards. And people get a hold of things that they're not supposed to. Kind of like when us Americans, more specifically like Washingtonians, and there's other states like that, but where, you know, you keep your home defense weapon up on top of the very top spot of the bookshelf, behind the dictionary, someplace the kid is never going to look, and yet somehow the kid finds the gun and bad things happen. Or maybe it's not that you left the gun hidden, but you didn't leave it out, and you just said, don't look over there, and the kid went over and got it anyways, and wreaked havoc. It's kind of how some of this global situation seems to work out. Now, we're going to sell you these weapons. Don't let these guys over here have them. Only you're allowed to use them. And only in certain aspects are you allowed to use these weapons. Other aspects, you're not allowed to use them at all. They brought up Gaddafi for a period of time. That's an individual who I need to do more research on. But this individual, easy example. I mean, there's more examples. Saddam Hussein and plenty of African leaders. define leaders, people in control of certain segments of Africa. We've seen, I guess, the movie Lord of War is a fantastic visual representation of this book. But certain individuals have all of the power. They've got all of the guns, all of the weapons. And sometimes even neighboring towns have all of the guns and all of the weapons. Your town doesn't have any. And these people want to come in with their rules and regulations. You don't want to follow the rules, or maybe you don't even know that they want rules imposed just yet. They just feel like making a presence at the start. I guess kind of flipping back to Gaddafi and whatnot. Like, protests. People out there, more or less peacefully protesting. No guns in the protesters' hands. The government comes out and just mows people down. Not supposed to use guns against civilians. But they were getting out of hand. Well, that's neither peace nor prosperity. It's actually a degradation of both. Or a lack of both. Or actually, Gaddafi had quite the amount of prosperity and no one else in his country did. So at least someone was prosperous in the arms resale industry. But there was one country within this book when they were talking about their situation on why they purchase so many arms, why they do things the way that they do things. And it has to do with peace and prosperity. But one more so than the other. And again, we think that peace is going to bring easy enough things, going to level things out so that way we can be prosperous. This one country said that they would prefer prosperity over peace. That was kind of a mind stretch for me. I guess if none of your neighbors want you around, don't like you, consider you a hostile force, they will always be attacking you. And so peace is kind of a second burner situation. I guess that kind of is how that would evolve. Or does peace mean that there's no more money coming in? Sure, arms deals between countries are millions and millions of dollars. But that includes partial payments of the bribes that need to happen for the fudging of the paperwork. So that way, things can get from point A to point D, rather simply. Because we're selling it from point A to point B, but then there's a couple extra steps to get it where it's really supposed to go. Someone made a promise to get a couple bits more of armor, guns, tanks, grenades, elsewhere. But what if the chase for prosperity, peace as a second burner, is an attempt to be resilient in the face of adversaries, in the face of people who don't want you doing well, achieving anything? And so you attempt to be prosperous. You work extra hard and fine, you have to pull some funny business, pull yourself, your countrymen, up by their bootstraps just to make it somewhere, to make it something of something, so you're not stuck in between these series of mountains where there's nothing else to do, nothing else to grow. You can't harvest lithium. You can't grow oranges or lemons or genetically engineer ice cubes so that way they could be sold. Free range, small batch ice cubes in the middle of the desert. I hear that's not going to be a profitable business out that way, but it's worth a shot. Prosperity in the defiance of peace. Because peace isn't possible. As much as you would like it to be, as much as you would like to let bygones be bygones, bygones will not be bygones. People will always hold that little grudge against you and your countrymen. And so in a roundabout way, you got to make lemonade out of lemons. And it works out well enough. The country's got enough money going for it. It's got enough industry going for it. But the arms deals with it, always just a little bit excessive, and there's always seems to be just a little bit of an overstock problem that turns into an understock problem. You have individuals making just a handful more dollars, a couple more buckaroos, shekels, dollary dues, making their own little bonus lemonade out of the lemons that come through. But down to a personal level, personal goals, how do we seek out our peace and prosperity? Are we at peace? Probably never. Life is pretty chaotic. Life is pretty busy. I did so many activities yesterday, and somehow I've got so many more activities lined up the next couple days. When do I have time to do anything? But I guess that is prosperity, as I sit here, an American, living in a unique spot, unique compared to the rest of the world, and I'm grateful for it. our borders have a lot more peace than we would like to believe or than the news would like to tell us. We have a lot more prosperity than a lot of other places. How much peace do we need to be at with our neighbors, with our family, in order to be prosperous? Is peace an agreement to just not interact? You do you, I do me, and we get along, move along, as long as we're not bumping into each other? Or do we have to worry about that overflow, that point where other people's prosperity starts biting into us? Some person growing flowers next door, some Monsanto-style plants, the wind blows, and their little Monsanto plant blows into your yard. You start accidentally growing Monsanto corn. You thought you were doing just fine. They had their stuff, you had your stuff. Everybody's at peace. But no longer becomes war. Prosperity is no longer guaranteed because you're growing their corns, their crops. Peace has been shattered. It'd be nice if we could all get along, work together. But everybody's so different in their way of thinking. We're all the same in the way we think. All so very different. Everybody's goals are more or less unique. We all have a way, our own idea, at least, of how we're climbing to the top of the mountain. And again, as much as I'd like everybody to get along, some people always see it as a competition. Other people just see it as other people getting in their way or misconstrue certain situations in that they're trying to take your glory away. And so we fight extra hard so that way we can all be prosperous. Or maybe people are just coming to take your stuff away. And you just want peace. You want to be left alone. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Okay, I guess we're fighting. And through that, lessons learned, wars fought, battles waged. Peace to come eventually, in one way or another, through capitulation or mutual agreement. Oh, it's dismal, miserable. Peace and prosperity, or prosperity regardless of peace. Becomes a little bit deeper. You start thinking about it like that. This global arms trade. If you read the book, awesome. A lot of good information. But again, it's not exciting. It's not as tedious as some other books. But it's good to know what's going on or has been going on in the world. A little bit of education goes a long way. Maybe we can bring our own little peace and prosperity. See what's going on with this military-industrial complex. And I've been Billy Bones, B-I-L-L-Y-B-O-N, the number 3-S. You find me on Twitter, at Billy Bones. You find me on Mastodon, the Fediverse, at Billy Bones, at noauthority.social. I've got a website, in case you don't have the SOSMEDS, billybones.com. Remember, that's spelled with the number 3 instead of the letter E. And there you can go and find show notes. Only one show note today. And there's a link for music, email, SoundCloud, past shows, and a link that says value for value. Because I release this show free of charge, no paywalls, no subscription fees, no advertisers controlling what I can or cannot say, in hopes that you find value out of it. And if you did, fantastic. Thank you. I'm glad you did. The first thing that I ask that you do is you give this show a share. Maybe someone else finds a talking point, gets the gears turning, finds a meaning or a reason to look deeper into that peace and prosperity motto that we're all attaining or attempting to attain. But if you felt that this was worth a monetary amount of value, be it the US dollar or Satoshi's teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin sent over the Lightning Network, you're in luck. I accept both. And today I have two executive producers. We're going to start off with Dame Slamy, who sent in $11.11. I think that's an angel number. Is it? It's a whole lot of ones. And she says, thank you for your thoughtful ruminations. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in, ma'am. Thank you for your support, Dame Slamy. And as we roll on to the Satoshis, again, those teeny tiny bits of Bitcoin sent in through podcasting 2.0 apps. Get yourself a modern podcast app, modernpodcastapps.com. Check out the chapters of the last episode. No chapters this one. Check out chapters and whatnot and other people's shows. And again, send Satoshis like Dame Slamy did. She streamed in. She was listening to a couple of her episodes and streamed in a grand total of 1,862 Satoshis. And then Sir Sean of the Allegheny Valley listened to last week's episode and streamed in his own 560 Satoshis. Both of those individuals using the Cast-O-Matic app. For you Apple users here, that's a really good one. Again, there's all sorts of other apps out there if you're looking to entice yourself just a little bit more. But I'd like to thank you very much for listening. Find yourself some peace. Find yourself some prosperity. I love you guys, and I will talk to you next week.